wake-up call from 1300 WTLS and 106.5 FM. Available to you online at 1300WTLS.com and on TallahasseeTimesTV.com. As we're joined by Pete Van Weer, a longtime Braves broadcaster. He's got a new book out called Of Mics and Men. And Pete, good morning to you. Appreciate you being on with us.
Good morning. Good to be with you.
Well, saw you for many years, heard your broadcast, 33 years in the booth with the Atlanta Braves, 43 overall. You retired in 2008, and I'm sure you've got some great stories that are certainly chronicled in this book.
Well, what we tried to do was answer questions that people have been asking me throughout my career. One of the most common questions that I was always receiving was, how did you get a job in the major leagues in the first place? So I have some details in there about my minor league years and how I spent some 10 years preparing to get to the major leagues in all kinds of various venues. And then, I had a lot of questions about what was it like to work with Ernie Johnson and Skip Carey and Don Sutton and Joe Simpson and all your partners. So there are a lot of stories in there about that. And also, I was fortunate that I was able to spend all 33 years in the major leagues with one team, which was a blessing, because I got to see Atlanta at its worst and at its best as far as being a baseball town. The first 15 years I spent there, the Braves were pretty much the laughing stock of Major League Baseball, finishing at or near the bottom almost every year.
Lovable loser.
And then all of a sudden in 1991, things changed, and changed in a big way. And it really changed the way baseball fans in the Southeast look upon the Braves. The Braves are now one of the most respected organizations in all of baseball. The expectations of the fans are very high, and it was a very interesting transition to be a part of.
Well, you put some notes here that I'll just ask you about. First off, one thing that you have pointed out in the press release is Ted Turner's one-game stint as Braves manager, and that is an interesting thing, the owner-manager situation, 1977. What was that like?
Well, it was my second year with the team, and the team had gotten off to a terrible start. They were in the midst of a 16-game losing streak in about mid-May, and Ted was the owner, and at that time he used to travel with the team quite a bit. He was around most of the time the first two or three years that he was the owner, and he was getting more and more frustrated and decided that he wanted to find out why this team was performing as poorly as it was. And the best way to do that, he thought, was to put a uniform on and go down and manage for a few days. And it wound up only being a one-day deal, because once he did it, the commissioner of baseball stepped in and said, "Ted, you can't do that. You can't be an owner and a manager both." So, but the fun part of that whole day was, at that time, Ted had two or three jobs for everybody. Everybody on the ball club was doing more than one thing. And for 5 years, the first 5 years that I was here, besides being a broadcaster, I was also the traveling secretary of the team, which involved arranging all the planes and the buses and the hotel rooms and trucks and all the different things that it takes to transport a team from one city to another. So I was responsible for getting Dave Bristol, who was the manager at the time, out of Pittsburgh. And he wanted to get out of Pittsburgh without any of the players seeing him, because he was so humiliated by what was taking place, this leave of absence that he was being given so Ted could manage. So there's a couple stories in there about what that was like, trying to get Dave out of town without anybody seeing him. And then getting to the ballpark that night, and there was Ted in a uniform, trying to figure out how to try to get this team out of its losing streak, which it didn't. It lost that 17th straight game that night too. But it was an interesting time, interesting story.
Well, I wonder what it was like during the tough years. I mean, the Braves weren't very good, but you were still a broadcaster in the big leagues. What was it like to call, for a team that usually finished near the bottom or at the bottom?
Well, that was the key. The key was what you said there about being a broadcaster in the big leagues. You're a big league broadcaster. You're broadcasting a big league game, and the fans out there, whether they are fans of the Braves or not, are expecting a big league performance. So for all of us, for Ernie, Skip, and myself, our jobs didn't change. Our job was the same every day, to still go in the booth and do the best job we could, win or lose. And we had a rather unique relationship, because it was not a relationship where there was a lead guy, a number one guy, and a number two guy, and a number three guy. We were equal partners in it, and that was all because of Ernie Johnson. Ernie was the one that decided to make it work that way, and it worked very, very well. We became great friends on the air, off the air, during the off season. We did a lot of things together. Our wives became close, and there were a lot of things that we did on the air. We had a lot of fun. We always tried to do the best job we could, game after game, win or lose. But we also tried to have some fun too, because after all, it is baseball. It's supposed to be a relaxing time, and we tried to give a relaxing broadcast.
You know, and one thing too, when cable television came about, thanks to Ted Turner making this what we call now still America's team, you were kind of cast into the limelight as well, just like a player. I'm sure when you go from town to town that you're recognized thanks to the broadcast.
Well, that was another part of it that was very different. None of us expected anything like that. We didn't have any idea what to expect when the games first went on cable in 1977. In fact, we were kind of scratching our heads saying, why would anybody outside of the Southeast care about the Atlanta Braves? Well, we found out, even when the Braves were not a very good team, that there were a lot of people out there that cared. And one of the reasons for that was that back then, the only baseball on television was pretty much the game of the week on Saturday afternoon. The Cubs were televising, but most of their games were in the daytime. So primetime baseball during the week, there was none available. There was no ESPN then. There was no Comcast or satellite television or computers or anything like that where people could watch any game they wanted to. So the only game available to them during the week on the weeknights was the Braves game. And a lot of people watched because they were just baseball fans. And when they watched, they got kind of hooked on the team, whether they were initially fans or not, they did. And we began to notice it three or four years into the cable television experiment. We began to notice it when we went on the road. We'd go into a ballpark, and all of a sudden there were Braves fans showing up on the road in Houston and Cincinnati and St. Louis and places like that. And they were showing up in increasingly large numbers. And when you talk to some of these fans or found out where they were from, they were from some of the outlying areas that were, you know, did not have a major league team. They were from Louisiana. They were from Arkansas. They were from Kentucky. They were from places like that. It didn't have a major league team, and they got hooked on the Braves by watching on the telecast. So it became kind of a national deal.
Well, you got to talk about how the team went from being worst and then going to first, and what your expectations were going in. What was it like going into that 91 season when the Braves did have that unbelievable season?
Well, going into that season, it was unlike it. It was like any other season that we went into. We weren't really expecting anything. We knew we had a little bit better club going in that year because some of the younger players that we had, especially some of the younger pitchers, looked like they were about to turn things around. But we had no idea that we were going to be in the World Series that year. Even at the All-Star break, we were 9 games out and not really looking forward to being in a pennant race for the second half of the season. But all of a sudden, the team caught fire. And all of a sudden, the fans caught fire. That was the year that the tomahawk chop and the chant and all that stuff came into being. And I have a part in the book where I tell about how that all came about, how that all started, and how it all just kind of spontaneously took over as far as being the real trademark of Braves fans in about August of that year. And it was an amazing experience to be a part of because I had never seen a team. We used to be usually at the bottom of Major League Baseball in attendance. The crowds just weren't very big because we were always 15 or 20 games out by the All-Star break, and the second half of the year nobody would show up. But all of a sudden in 1991, when we got back in the race after the All-Star break, the place was sold out every night. The town was absolutely crazy about the team. Everywhere you went, you couldn't avoid seeing tomahawks or signs of supporting the Braves posted on billboards and buildings and everything. And it was an amazing thing to be a part of. And that continued all the way through the World Series. And, of course, then we had no idea that we were going to be going to postseason for 14 straight years. We thought that was maybe a once-in-a-lifetime lucky fortunate season that we were going through. We had no idea that we were going to be going through October after October after October for 14 straight years. But it was an amazing thing to be a part of, and a transition that really hasn't changed. Even though the team hasn't been to postseason now in 3 or 4 years, the fans still expect them to every year.
What was the excitement like that year in comparison to the other great years? Like you said, the long run of division championships and going to World Series, you know, for many of those years.
Well, I think the best example of that came at the end of the 91 season. Even though we lost that World Series, we came back to Atlanta and they had a parade downtown, down Peachtree Street. Yeah. And the turnout for that parade was just mind-boggling. We knew there was going to be a good crowd, but we had no idea that it was going to be 400,000 or 500,000 people. It was the parade that was supposed to take an hour, took about 4 hours because you could barely move. The crowds were so big. And that was a real sign to us how much the fans appreciated what the Braves had done that year. And you know, once you've done it that one time, then you go back the second time. The second and third and fourth and fifth times are always exciting. You're always glad to be there. And of course, the fourth time was 1995 when we won the World Series, and that was certainly exciting. But I don't think any player that played on that 1991 team and then played on teams after that. Well, I'll tell you the same thing, that there was nothing like that 1991 season. That was the season that really stuck with everybody because of the way the fans turned out and the big parade at the end of the year and then a great World Series, a World Series the Braves could very easily have won. But that was the year that stands out, even in my career. That's the one year that stands out more than any other.
Pete Van Wieren, our guest, longtime Braves broadcaster, wanted to ask you, do you have a ring? When the Braves did win that title in '95, did you get a ring?
Oh yeah, they included the broadcasters, and you know, we were very, very privileged to be a part of all that. And it's still a tremendous honor to have something like that because you know, so many players go through an entire career, and a couple of them went through entire careers here in Atlanta and were icons in Atlanta, Phil Niekro and Dale Murphy, and never got a ring. So to be able to walk off after a 43-year career of broadcasting, 33 years in the major leagues, to be able to walk off and have a World Series ring as a part of the things that you have to remember your career by is very special.
How much interaction do you have with the players? I know you travel with a team. Do you get around them a whole lot?
Yeah, you are. I mean, it becomes your second family. From the time spring training begins until the end of the season, you're with those players more than you are your family. I mean, you're with them every day at the ballpark. You're with them every day on the road, in airplanes and buses, traveling to and from the ballparks on the road. And when you're at home, of course, you get to the ballpark 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and you're mingling with the players before the game, and you're in the clubhouse after the game talking to the players. So, yeah, they become you become very close to them, and some you remain very close to even after they retire as players. I mean, there are some guys like Phil Niekro and Dale Murphy, Bob Horner, Gene Garber, guys like that, Bruce Benedict, that you stay close to even after they quit playing.
What were the big pitching tandem? Well, the guys like Greg Maddux, Tom Glavine, John Smoltz. What were those guys like during that time?
Well, that was a very special time to be able to broadcast for a pitching rotation like that. One of the great pitching rotations of all time. They were very, very close to each other. They were close friends. They played a lot of golf, especially on the road. Almost every morning, you would go down in the lobby of the hotel, and the three of them would be getting ready to head out to the golf course to play. But they were all very different people. I mean, John was a very energetic, enthusiastic guy. Tom was more of a stubborn plotter who really, really worked at his craft to become the pitcher he became. And Greg Maddux was this genius that didn't talk much, that nobody could figure out how he knew all the things he knew about pitching, and he wouldn't tell anybody. It was something he was keeping very close to himself. He might share some individual hitter tendencies and things like that with other pitchers, but as far as trying to figure out how he knew what he knew about pitching and how he figured out what he figured out about pitching, there was really no way to get that out of him. It was just kind of a gift, a talent that he was given, that he was able to turn into a Hall of Fame career. But it was very, very special being a part of a team that had a pitching rotation like that, because every day that you went to the ballpark, whether it was Glavine, Smoltz, or Maddux, or whoever the fourth guy was, it might have been Steve Avery, it might have been Denny Nagel, it might have been Kevin Millwood, but during that 10-year span that those guys were together, you never went to the ballpark any day when you didn't expect to win, and win because you were going to get a good pitching performance.
You ever get out on the golf course with them?
Oh, yeah, but didn't win much money, I can tell you that.
Who's the best of the bunch there?
John Smoltz is a scratch golfer. Greg Maddux and Tom Glavine aren't far behind. So we didn't play with them much. Usually the broadcasters, if we went out to the golf course, we played on our own foursome. But it was fun being around those guys, and still is. I still see John and Tom and Greg from time to time, and still enjoy being around them.
And you still live in the suburbs of Atlanta. I mean, you were at pretty much all the games over the course of your career. How often do you get to see the Braves these days?
Well, I'm at the ballpark maybe once or twice a month. I don't go every day anymore. Like, since I'm not working, I don't live my life at the ballpark like I used to. But I get down there a couple times a month to see everybody, especially Bobby. Bobby's an old and dear friend. I've known him since before he came to Atlanta. I knew him when I was in the minor leagues. I was broadcasting AAA baseball in Tidewater, and he was the manager at Syracuse in the same league. So I knew him all the way back in my minor league years.
Pete, I've always been a big fan. It's my pleasure to be a part of an interview with you, and I wish you the best for the book and your time in retirement. Thanks for giving us some time this morning.
Well, thank you very much for the call. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Take care. Pete Van Weeren, our guest, longtime Braves broadcaster.